This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Has the public been dittified? Men on the streets reveal overwhelming sentiments that the beatings, the bribes, the gun threats, the arson, it's all just a bad relationship between Combs and Cassie Ventura? Are they crazy? This, as we learned, Sean Combs rakes in over $4 million since his arrest. How? I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us. How in the hay is Sean Combs raking in over $4 million since his arrest? Now, we heard about a money-making scheme with Kanye and saw that horrible video of him with the titanium teeth drooling in the dentist chair. But it's not that. But to the courtroom, joining us an all-star panel to make sense of what we know now. It has been a long day in the courtroom. Straight out to Hermania Rodriguez. She is the chief U.S. reporter with DailyMail.com podcast titled The Trial of Diddy, in which she stars. Hermania, thank you for being with us. First thing this morning, we saw a videographer expert on the stand. What was the point?
Right. Today, first thing in the morning, a video expert, his name is Frank Piazza, took the stand for the prosecution. And he said he analyzed cell phone footage, surveillance footage, and also sex videos. On the stand, he's basically giving these videos legitimacy because, as we know, Diddy's attorneys, particularly with the LA Assault 2016 video, they have suggested and put the idea out there that these videos have been edited by CNN. They have been sped up. So this expert was basically there to tell the jury these videos are legitimate. They have not been messed with, and you should trust them, essentially.
You know, from the get-go, straight out to Greg Morse joining us, veteran criminal defense attorney. He is the lead partner at Morse Legal and author of The Untested on Amazon. Greg Morse, I believe there was a time that you suggested that the Freakoff videos were a myth, that they were lore, that they didn't exist. Well, buckle your seatbelt, because this expert on the stand that Hermania just described is laying the foundation. What does that mean? Whenever you bring in a video, an audio recording, really any piece of physical evidence at all, be it drugs or a picture or an article of clothing, you have to lay the foundation. I can't just go in and go, hey, judge, can I bring in these notes? No, you have to say, you have to have a witness under oath to say, what is the object? What is the exhibit? Where did it come from? What's the chain of custody? I haven't been leaving it out on Third Avenue in downtown Manhattan where anybody could change it. You've got to show that it hasn't been tampered with and the chain of custody, who's held it, who's been in charge of it, is complete. There's not a break in the chain and what it purports to be. That gives the other side a chance to object on any of those grounds. So it's happening, Morse. This is the beginning of the admission into evidence of the Freakoff tapes, which you at one time said was just a myth, that they didn't really exist.
No.
As if it didn't happen. Yes, you did.
Well, it okay, they can introduce the Freakoff videos again. It doesn't mean sex trafficking and a RICO happened here. And testimony yesterday shows that from victim number two. So they can introduce these videos. A lot of people want to keep their sex lives private. Doctors, lawyers, famous people. These things are not, doesn't move the needle to sex trafficking yet. So they can introduce all the videos they want, but their core of their indictment is centered around the domestic abuse video where Miss Ventura is being beaten in that hotel lobby or hallway by P. Diddy. But so the Freakoff videos,
Morse,
are going to come in. When are we going to hear about young people?
Morse,
when are we going to hear about,
Morse,
drugged people?
I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. First of all, you said, I don't know if these freak-offs really happened. And if they did happen, there's not a video. Now, we've heard testimony about the freak-offs, and we're laying the foundation right now, the state is, to introduce those freak-off,
sure,
videos. Didn't you just hear Hermania Rodriguez say, this expert says,
okay,
he is an expert in is going to address cell phone videos, surveillance videos, that's the intercontinental beatdown, and sex tapes. What other sex tape? It's got to be the freak-offs. They're coming into evidence. And from what I understand, straight out to Sydney Sumner joining us, Crime Stories investigative reporter on the case from the beginning, like Hermonia. Sydney, these are not all consenting adults and engaging in an orgy or group sex. I guess the new term would be polyamorous. That's not what the state is alleging, Sydney.
Absolutely not, Nancy. They're alleging that these women or men or all participants who may or may not have been adults, we've seen many minor allegations come out in lawsuits, but SDNY is not specifically arguing that Combs targeted minors. Anyways, the state, the government is claiming that these victims were coerced in one way, shape, or another, whether that was by financial control, blackmail, the threat, or follow through of physical violence. Combs used coercion to get what he wanted, to get these sex parties, these freak-offs. This was not something that somebody wanted and actively was interested in doing.
I mean, Greg Morse, I don't know. Are you deaf, dumb, and blind? Didn't you hear the testimony that when Cassie Ventura was getting beaten in the hallway of the Intercontinental and dragged back, it was dragged back to a room where she was being coerced into having sex with a sex worker. And she was trying to run away.
You're making up testimony.
Is that consensual sex?
All you're doing is making up testimony. I'm right. That's what I am. Because so far, the prosecution hasn't produced any testimony that says victim number one or victim number two were coerced or forced or through fraud. This is, you know, people made choices in this situation from their own mouth. Ms. Ventura testified from her own mouth. Yeah, I didn't always like the freak-offs, but I did them. You had another witness. Okay, Ms. Ventura paid me for the freak-off. Again, things are being shoved in under a criminal indictment to things that people do. We may look at it and say, I would never do that. I would never want to be involved in that.
But let's review the evidence. Sydney Sumner joining us from Crime Stories. Sydney, isn't it true that Cassie Ventura testified that she was being dragged back to the room? And what was happening in the room, number one, and number two, isn't it true when the security guard, who we see in the video, went back to the room, he sees another guy in there. That's the sex worker.
That's correct, Nancy. So that's what we heard from Israel Flores and Cassie about that situation. Flores claimed that there was another man in the room, and he didn't make any note of that man being in the room because he was not directly involved in Sean Combs and Cassie's altercation. So he left that out of his incident report about the situation because he was irrelevant at the time. But now, coming back to testimony combined with what Cassie Ventura said on the stand, that becomes incredibly important because it backs up the fact that she said she was running away from a freak-off.
So, Morse, do you think Sydney Sumner, she doesn't have a dog in the fight, no skin in the game, you think she's lying? Hold on. Hermonia Rodriguez is with us from Daily Mail, the biggest website in the world for news. Hermonia, isn't it true that Cassie Ventura stated she was dragged back into that room? She did not want to have sex with the other guy.
Correct. Not only in that incident, it was not the only time that she said she was dragged back by Diddy Securities, particularly someone by the name of D-Rock has been mentioned a lot, Christina Coram. People, even when she actually managed to get away, Diddy's employees would call her and try to convince her to come back. She also said she was threatened that the sex videos would be released. These are all claims by Cassie that the prosecution is using to back up the sex trafficking claims.
So, Greg Morse, do you think it's just a big conspiracy between me and Sydney Sumner and Hermonia Rodriguez? In fact, you know, I think the Daily Mail may be behind it, too. We're all trying to trick you about Cassie Ventura's testimony.
No,
she said she was dragged back into that room to have non-consensual sex with a sex worker.
So she gives inconsistent statements. There's a conflict in the evidence, clearly, because she said it was consensual.
She did it.
Many times. And when the jury is charged at the end
that's
of this
not
case,
what she
they're
said.
Going to be told. Nancy, you know, they're going to be told what reasonable doubt is, conflict in the evidence.
Yes,
you,
I know that, but I also know what Cassie Ventura's testimony. You know what? That is my, I can't take it anymore. That was not her testimony. Let Greg Moore sit in the corner and think about what he has done. To Dr. Bethany Marshall, Dr. Bethany, when you see what the men on the streets are saying, what people are actually saying, it's just like Greg Moore's. She didn't say that. That didn't happen. And another thing regarding consensual sex, being drugged out of your gourd does not consent make. Dr. Bethany Marshall joining us, renowned psychoanalyst out of the Beverly Hills jurisdiction. She is the author of Deal Breaker. You can see her now on Peacock, and you can find her at drbethanymarshall.com. Hit it, Bethany. That is not consent.
I'm sorry, but this idea that Cassie and Mia and all of these women consented is stupid and naive. It speaks to a deeply sexist society. And I'm sorry, Greg, but your comments are so sexist. They do not reflect the reality of the situation. And that is that these women were terrified. They were stripped of their resources. When they wrote anything positive in a text or email towards P. Diddy, it's because they were placating him. They were terrified. He would give them things and then take them away. He blackmailed Cassie Ventura's own parents. They mortgaged their house to the tune of $20,000 to protect their daughter. They sent the $20,000 and then P. Diddy's people sent it back. This is such evidence of the fact of coercion, of sex slavery. It may be on a more dramatic, wealthy level, but this is no different from 12-year-olds on the street who feel like they cannot get away from their captors.
Why are you rolling your eyes, Greg Morse?
Because,
I saw that.
Again, you're doing is...
Yeah, you really beat all.
You're isolating minor parts of testimony. Let's talk about Mia's testimony. The only thing she was general
no,
on was
the... No, let's talk about what you just
assaulted.
Lied about. You said Cassie Ventura went back into that hotel room willingly for consensual sex.
What I said was,
my lying eyes, for Pete's sake. She's beaten
just
and kicked and dragged
off.
Back.
Nancy, you're simply isolating testimony and cherry picking
it.
It's not one. It's not one. That's the point. There isn't just one. Mia, okay, so you're telling me when you're negotiating your severance, you were sexually assaulted and sex trafficked. You don't bring that up.
I'm not talking
you
about
continue
Mia.
Texting.
I'm talking
but
about
you can't
Cassie
just isolate
Ventura.
Testimony.
See, that's how
this
you win all your cases.
Case.
You say, hey, don't listen to that.
Case.
Look over here. Don't
listen
to
Cassie
the facts.
Ventura,
the facts aren't real.
Absolutely.
And that's what's happening.
He did. He
you
should be
what?
Charged with crimes against Cassie Ventura, but not sex trafficking.
So now Dr. Bethany's in on the big conspiracy to hoodwink Greg Moore.
No, but Dr. Bethany's isolating information
us.
Like doctors
still
do.
Still hearing it. Why won't it go away?
Oh.
Executive Director of Surviving Assault, Standing Strong. It is a nonprofit to eradicate sex abuse and trafficking. Okay, Brett. See what I mean? It's like, you know, the myth of the poor guy pushing the rock, the huge rock, up the hill, and he gets to the top, and it rolls back down. That is his sentence for life. He's got to go back down to the bottom of the hill and push the rock back up the hill, this huge boulder, and he gets it to the top of the hill, and it rolls back down again. That's what I feel like right now, talking about sex, abuse, rape, freak-offs, what happened to Cassie. I mean, think about it. Time after time after time, being forced and coerced, or else you're going to get beaten, or else you're going to lose your job, or I'm going to take your place, your car, your watch, your cell phone. Now get back in there. I mean, the stigma attached to rape victims and what people are saying about these ladies, it's a never-ending battle. every night I'm pushing that rock back up the hill. Why is it so difficult for people to accept these women were forced into freak-offs?
Well, I think Greg did a great job of representing that side of thinking by calling Cassie Ventura a minor piece of testimony. We are talking about a full human being. And he took all that and boiled it down and called it a minor piece of testimony. Women are crucified for not coming forward immediately. And people say, if it was really that bad, why didn't you say anything? But when they do, people say, well, that's just a minor thing. This was just a bad relationship. So they're in a lose-lose situation when they're on their own. And so the fact that there is some support and you've got person after person coming forward and saying, I'm living in this cycle of force, fraud, and coercion. And so I did what I had to do to stay alive. I'm not sure what's so hard to understand about that. I think the only thing that we can truly extrapolate is they're seen as less than human.
She's talking about you again, Morse.
And again, everybody like forgets this is a court of law. This is not something we're talking about on some gossip show. The prosecution has to prove elements. Again, sex traffic victims, you're missing the key element here. They tend to be, one, locked into where they are. I've had the cases, the locks are backwards. If someone escapes the window, they're harmed. None of that happened here. That's all anyone is saying that's
Put
looking at the testimony.
Up. Not what
that
do you
she's
mean?
Not a victim
None
of something.
None of them were harmed. Could you show him the
harmed
shots
with-
of that gash on Cassie's
that's
forehead,
sex trafficking.
The busted
that's
lip.
The
what do you mean none of them were harmed?
That's a battery.
Didn't you hear
that's
Mia's testimony
violence.
About he shoved her and hit her?
Mia's testimony.
Her arm?
Please. Mia's testimony was, I'm
please
upset
what?
That I didn't get a bigger
what do you mean,
severance.
Please?
The main parts of her testimony
yeah, you know
were without detail, without memory.
I'm glad you mentioned the severance. It wasn't a severance. It was a payoff to
Did
the tune of $400,000.
$1,000. Did you read
Morse,
her text?
Why do you think he paid $400,000 to Mia if nothing
Nancy,
bad happened?
If you're
what?
Mediating your severance, if you're mediating your employment severance and you honestly believe you were sexually assaulted, don't you think you're going to bring it up at that time? This is not delayed reporting. These are not, I understand that completely. There
Can
are people
I get
who are
one straight answer out of
that
you?
That are delayed reporting.
Why do you
I'm
think
I'm giving straight
Sean
answers.
Combs
I'm not trying
paid
to.
Hey, Cassie, how much did he pay her? $20 or $30 million?
You're proving this case by gossip.
$20 million
okay.
to shut up
okay, how much?
And paid Mia $500,000 not
you're
to talk.
To infer,
okay, you know what?
Yes,
sadly, in one
you're
segment,
inferring a
I've become a person's
mic
twice. Tom Smith joining me. Thank you, Lord in heaven, for the mic cutting power. Tom Smith joining me, former NYPD detective, 30 years on the street, now star of the Gold Shields podcast. Can you just be straight, cut through all the noise, and describe how rape victims are very often recalcitrant to come forward, or they won't come forward because they fear exactly what's happening right now?
Well, you just said the word fear. Fear, power, control. It's a mind game, and that's what Diddy preyed on. It doesn't have to be physical, in which case in some instances it was. It is about power and control and making sure that he has them under their thumb, whether it's their career, whether it's their safety, whether it's anyone around their safety. This is a power trip that Sean Combs perpetrated to make people that normally wouldn't participate in certain acts, forcing them to do that through fear, control, and power.
I want you to take a look at how the public has been Diddyfied. Take a look at what's happening on TikTok.
What's up, everybody? I just wanted to come out and tell you guys, I believe P. Diddy is innocent. He is innocent. They need to let this man go. They need to let him free. He ain't got nothing to do with what y'all talking about. For one, we gotta look at these women out here. They're desperate. They're desperate.
That's from Azra Ahmed on TikTok. Brett Brown, the resistance to believing female victims is incredible, especially from women.
It is. It's fascinating to me. We see a pattern of two things. Either one, from people not being able to imagine that things like that happen, because we're actually really hopeful creatures and we want the world to be better than it is. But then for those who accept that these things happen, they always say to themselves, oh, I would never do that. I would never allow that to happen. But that is a general lack of understanding the nature of abusive relationships and the layering and the time that goes into building them before the abuse ever starts. So really, when you see something like that, there's, of course, the obvious kind of judgment and hypocrisy from somebody with no understanding of what abuse is about, but also just a general lack of information of how these relationships play out and go from a relationship straight to abuse.
Right. Okay. That's just a tiny taste of what is happening, how the public has been deified. Listen to this.
So far, I'm not gonna lie to you. It just sounds like a bad relationship to me. Yes, DV. Yes, terrible choice in how you treat your partner.
That's from Talish Shea on TikTok.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Okay, Dr. Bethany Marshall, help me out. I mean, if women are not supporting the women victims, we're all screwed.
When these TikTokers watch the trial or whatever's leaking out about the trial, they're going to either identify with the perpetrator or the victim. That's what happens in trials like this. Everybody picks their horse.
Now, of course, the TikTokers we are showing, we don't know them and we know nothing about them. They haven't been charged with anything except maybe not knowing what's going on in the courtroom. Hey, let's watch another one. We've seen two women. Got any men out there?
So people say, well, how you feel about hearing about Diddy watching Cassie and recording? I watched porn. He was watching porn, just live. And he probably could make a lot of money if he actually used those tapes. And y'all all can make some money.
Okay, Greg Morse, that's at Bama Boy Roy 251 on TikTok. Did you see that look in his eyes when he goes, I watch porn?
Sure. I mean,
and he's talking about how much money Sean Combs can make by doing porn. I mean, well, I guess he's suggesting just click it on TV instead of what, beating women into creating porn? Is that what he's trying to say?
No, well, again, that's what you're doing. You're conflating a lot of different things here. These people aren't necessarily wrong with the testimony that they've heard, because this is not whether you're picking a side of Diddy or Miss Ventura. This is, did the facts support the charges in a court of law beyond and to the exclusion of all reasonable doubt? And the irony of that Alabama video with the porn is that Diddy made all his money with the artist singing in the background, Notorious B.I.G. That's why this isn't sex trafficking. That's why this isn't a RICO. There's a real business here. And these people aren't necessarily wrong with the testimony they've heard. They're not. There's crimes.
I don't think they've heard any testimony. I don't think they've heard any testimony. The first person is saying it's just a bad relationship. Okay, let's hear one more.
Free Diddy from them Cassie charges, bro. This is a load of man, believe me when I tell you, you can find a lot of stuff out there, man, to lock him up for, man. But Cassie, we got to leave that alone, man. Because when I originally seen that video of him whooping, I'm like, yo, throw the book out and put him under the prison, right? But then she took the money. So I said, okay, so she values money more than she does justice, right?
That's at the Broski Talks. Okay, Dr. Bethany Marshall, I believe he referred to the state's case as a load of not a technical legal term. So, bottom line, they've all been diddified. I pray to God nobody like them is on the jury. See, that's the thing. These all look like fairly attractive people, normal people. Some of them articulate. You could put them on the jury and not have any idea what they're really thinking. Right now, we are learning that apparently the public has been diddified. So many people are not hearing what the witnesses are saying and are convinced that this is all just about a bad relationship between Sean Combs and Cassie Ventura. There was a major outburst in the courtroom, the kind of thing, the stuff that mistrials are made of. Thank heaven the jury wasn't there when this woman threw a fit and had to be dragged out of the courtroom by armed guards. What happened? Straight out to Germania Rodriguez joining us from Daily Mail. What happened?
That's right, Nancy. We had our first major disruption at the trial this week when one of Diddy's supporters started yelling in court, "Diddy, they're laughing at you in every courtroom. That's not nice." Now, Diddy turned around and appeared to nod along to what the woman was saying before the judge threw her out. Now, this happened the same week that the Washington Post reported that in the overflow room, Diddy supporters had been heckling witness testimony by alleged victim Mia and also egging on his lawyers, which, of course, this is not behavior that is usually allowed in overflow rooms and courtrooms.
Sydney Sumner joining us, Crime Stories investigative reporter. What was the woman screaming in court?
Nancy, it was all over the place. One of the things that she said that stood out there, these MFers are laughing at you, Diddy. So she was supporting him. She felt like the media was making fun of him and is dragging him down, and maybe even that he's being wrongfully prosecuted in the first place. So Combs's face completely dropped. He was very, very surprised by this. His jaw was on the floor as this was happening until she was removed from the courtroom.
You know, Greg Morse is a veteran trial lawyer at Morse Legal. That is the stuff mistrials are made of. Any outburst in the courtroom, even though she was supporting Sean Combs, right, in her crazy loud rant,
sure,
had to be dragged out of the courtroom. But any disturbance or outbursts like that in the courtroom can result in a mistrial. I mean, I've seen cases where jurors coming into the courthouse saw somebody holding up a placard, so-and-so's innocent or so-and-so did it, and that became grounds for a mistrial, much less an outburst right in the courtroom with the jury. If the jury had been there, I guarantee you there would have been a motion for a mistrial.
There would have been, because the defense obviously looks for any opportunity to do that. And you're 100% right. Outbursts in the courtroom can really affect the trial. So now, usually when it happens once, the judge, you know, should get control of that. And if he has to clear the courtroom for the rest of the trial, he has the grounds to do it now. It doesn't need to be open to the public. So he has a reason, and he should, because you don't want to waste the resources and time of this long in trial only to have to do it again. So those things can absolutely create a mistrial.
Well, with that, I agree with you on that, Greg Morse, because the defense has worked night and day. The state has worked night and day to present the case. And then with one unpredicted outburst, it's all down the chute, and you have to start all over the jury selection, the everything. It's really bad for the state because the defense then has their exact playbook, everything they're going to do with each witness, and it gives them more, more time to prepare cross-exams, more time to beef up their response to those witnesses. Yes, at the beginning, the state has to hand over all the witnesses, and in some jurisdictions, a summary of their testimony, their addresses, how to reach them. If it's a scientific expert, you have to give the scientific report, like if it's about drugs. This videographer, this video expert, his CV, his resume, what he's going to say, his education, everything has to be handed over to start with. If the thing that the state doesn't have to hand over is their work product, their tactics, or how they're going to use each witness to achieve what. So if there's a mistrial, the defense already has their whole playbook, everything they plan to do with each witness and did. So it's a huge, huge problem for the state.
I heard a rumor. You said that you thought Diddy was going to be found not guilty. Is that true? Did you say that?
Oh, my God. I'm about to have a debate with Nancy Grace. Yes.
I'm on you, man. I'm 3 inches up your tailpipe. Did you say he was going to get acquitted? Because I think you did.
No, I also said that I think he'll be acquitted faster than what people think, and because I think this is a circus act, and I think
So you said acquitted and faster. Okay.
Okay. That's from my friend Harvey Levin over at TMZ, and that's airing on Tubi, U.S. versus Sean Combs. Now even Ray J is piling on. Has he been listening to the evidence? He goes on, and I'll play it for you in just a moment. Yeah, he's been diddified. Just hope that hasn't leaked to the jury. This, as we learn, Sean Combs has raked in over $4 million since he was arrested. Sydney Sumner, Crime Stories investigative reporter, how?
Diddy has made all of this money from renting out his Gulfstream size 50, Love Air. So even while he is sitting behind bars at the MDC, his plane is still making him money from chartered flights. It's made about 126 trips since he's been arrested.
It is a $60 million private jet to high-end travelers, and it's a very lucrative side hustle for Sean Combs. We're learning his defense is costing millions and tens of millions of dollars. The jet is equipped with 14 seats, range of nearly 7,000 miles. It's called, did you say Love Air? And it's rented out by an operator called Silver Air that operates the flights and builds the jet as part of a comprehensive fleet of luxury aircraft. It is a black-colored plane on celebrity charter broker sites like Jetty. And nobody knows, the people that rent it have no clue that it is owned by Sean Combs. This is what I recommend for all of you jet renters. You better get one of these. Now, again, when you don't know a horse, look at his track record. Now, I want you to listen to this and ask yourself, is there any way Sean Combs could resist becoming a member of the Mile High Club? Listen.
Friedrich Zimmer, the manager of L'Hermitage Hotel in Beverly Hills, discussed Sean Combs' history of reservations. Combs opened an account in 2006, but 3 years later, the name was changed to Jackie Starr, then Frank White, then Frank Black, and Ryan Lopez. The notes stayed the same. Number one, monitor outside the room to spray air freshener. Number two, place the room out of order upon departure for deep cleaning. Always spills candle wax on everything and uses excessive amounts of oil. And number three, please authorize an extra $1,000 at check-in to cover room damages.
Air freshener. Okay, Greg Morse, spraying some Glade on that sofa is not going to help a thing. Are you serious?
Probably not.
You rent his jet. You better get one of these, Morse.
Listen.
This is my Diddy wand.
It detects
and it UV kills the germs.
Nancy, he's on trial for sex trafficking, and he has a plane called Love Air. You can't make this stuff up. I mean, there's no way you can fictionally write this and the poetry of this ridiculousness that Diddy was living
poetry?
In the lifestyle.
Take a look at Cassie Ventura's fat lip and call it poetry again.
Talking about Diddy's life and his plane and putting Love Air on it. Defendants aren't that bright sometimes, and clearly he's not. But Diddy's still not sex trafficking, though. I still don't know where you're getting that from, but hey, we'll see at the end of this.
Oh man, can you just stay on topic? You know what? Let me give you some Adderall to get you to like focus in. to you, Bethany Marshall, this is in his notes at the hotel. Like when he walks in the door, they go, get an extra grand. Monitor outside of room to spray air freshener. Whew! Place the room out of order upon departure for deep cleaning. Always is in all caps, spills candle wax on everything and uses excessive amounts of oil and authorize an extra $1,000 at check-in to cover room damages. Now, you and I have talked many times about habit, evidence, routine, evidence. If he's trashing every hotel room where they have to go in and spray Glade on it, what do you think he's doing to Love Air? You think you're going to go sit on one of those cushions? I'm not. Look, they have to bring in a whole Dixie dumpster to clean out his room. And he is renting this jet out. How much did you say, Sydney? How much is one flight on his jet?
At least $40,000.
$40,000 to sit on one of those stanky cushions, Bethany.
I can just tell you my celebrity patients in my Beverly Hills office would be horrified to know that that's what they're sitting on. But On a more serious note, Nancy, this is one more very disturbing example of people accommodating to celebrity. P. Diddy got everybody to accommodate to him. $1,000 is not enough at Le Hermitage to repair room damage. It's just not. That facility or that hotel is near my office. It is very high end. It has a beautiful cocktail bar on the roof. Cocktails cost $50 a pop there. Okay? Well, not anymore. But they're accommodating to him just like everybody else does. Hey, instead of deep cleaning, how about just checking for trace evidence of blood? I mean, crimes occurred in that room. So the fact that these are in the notes really minimizes the severity of the destruction to women, which is what we're talking about today.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Tom Smith joining me, NYPD, 30 years on the NYPD-FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force at thegoldshieldshow.com. Tom, I learned this in the DA's office, prosecuting so many heinous crimes, crimes that I would wake up in the night with night terrors for over 10 years, and it lasted long after that, from the cases that I investigated and tried. And sometimes you just have to have something to crack a smile. And Dr. Bethany's right. We're talking about love air and my Diddy wand. And that's not what this case is about. But sometimes when I look at those pictures of Cassie and I hear the testimony and I see her getting beaten in the hallway, it's can be overwhelming, because this kind of attack on women is happening all across the world every single day, every single minute. And people are deified. They don't want to believe it, Tom.
Yeah. And you know what? You're never going to convince a percentage of the people out there listening to this case, no matter what is said, no matter what's presented, no matter what anyone reports on. There's going to be a percentage of people that think this is all just driven to get Diddy. And for what? You know, what would be the motive of just getting Sean Combs? There's victims here that have to be explained and have to come to the forefront and defended. And this is what this case is doing. You know, there's so many more victims out there probably that they couldn't convince to come in and testify or give a statement about. And all of those people are all part of this as well. The accountability has to be seen by Sean Combs, wherever it happened.
I just feel
I'll
like
I'll see you at the sentencing, my friend.
Wow.
Hey, Ray J, welcome.
I love this and I love you, Nancy. But I have to disagree, because I think that this is the most wildest case of like sexual conversation, right? Dirty fire pipes and
rape?
Like the Punisher and like, you know, everything else that goes with this, it's a very dirty situation. And I feel like it's becoming a circus act for stuff that doesn't make any sense for what Diddy's being charged for.
Joining me, Brett Brown, Executive Director, Surviving Assault, Standing Strong, dedicated to ending sex attacks and sex trafficking on women. Oh, by the way, that was from our friend Harvey Levin, my longtime friend over at TMZ, and that airs on Tubi. It's USV, Sean Combs is the name of it. You know, Brett, I think people don't understand the dynamic of rape and abuse, and they shouldn't. I'm glad they don't, because that means that violent crime has not touched their lives. I think that they're living with blinders on. I mean, I had no idea about a world of violent crime until my fiance was murdered and I became a felony prosecutor. So it's really almost insurmountable to explain what it really is. But this is not a circus. This is real. This is what happened to these women.
What the prosecution is going to have to do throughout this trial is showing the ups and downs. The nature of abusive relationships is that they start where women feel responsible. respected, loved, and seen like they're on a pedestal, right? And everyone wants that in their lives. But the difference between healthy and unhealthy is that in these abusive relationships, they go from feeling like they're on a pedestal to like they're under a spotlight. And if they don't perform, then there are consequences, and those consequences continue to grow. And we have to make that really evident that it is a situation that starts with love and devotion and ends with fear, violence, and being trapped.
You know, Tom Smith, following up on what Brett Brown just said, I told the story earlier. It's actually a myth about Sisyphus pushing the huge boulder up the hill of Hades day after day after day, and then seeing it roll back down. Tom, do you ever get tired or exhausted of trying, of just screaming the same thing over and over about what women are enduring?
Yeah, it happens a lot because of attitudes like that of putting the victims on trial. And we had to deal with it a lot in any other crime, not just rape, you know, a lot of crimes, robberies and so forth. But on a detective level, you took an oath and you take a deep breath and you go at it as hard as you can for the victims. Yes, you want to get the bad guys. You want to get those responsible to pay the price. But inevitably, at the end, you were doing this for the victims out there. And that's what counts. And that's what's on the minds of detectives and investigators and U.S. attorneys who are bringing this case forward. It's about the victims of this case.
We stop and remember American hero Deputy Sheriff Anthony Tate, Grundy County Sheriff's, shot in the line of duty, leaves behind wife Crystal and five children. American hero Anthony Tate. Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.